G'day and welcome back to the Redriven podcast. Now, guys, this is our buyer's guide series where we publish episodes from our YouTube channel that focus on a particular category of car. And we take you through the ones that we think you should have a look at and also the ones that you should probably avoid as well. A quick note, though, because the audio is taken directly from YouTube, there might be a few calls to watch particular videos. Instead, we've put the links to any of those videos in the show notes. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy. You have so many medium-sized SUVs to choose from, but here's where the following ones need to be avoided at all costs. Also, we're not just talking new ones here. We're going to be covering everything from under $5,000 to over $50,000. But the first that you should avoid is anything French. If you are watching this from Europe, look, this might be a different story for you because you'll most likely avoid the premiums the rest of us pay for parts and labour and just general maintenance. Plus, French SUVs are generally designed, engineered and calibrated for European conditions. Australia is a very different place. Plus, French manufacturers simply don't have the same size or levels of dealer and after-sales support here that you'll find across other brands. And this is why the likes of the Citroën C5 Aircross, the Peugeot 5008, and the Renault Koleos are to be avoided. We don't doubt that when brand new and covered by a full factory warranty, these SUVs are quite delightful. But once that new car warranty has expired and they've accumulated a few years and thousands of kilometres under their belt, about the only thing a French SUV will provide over the host of other options is some funky aesthetics and a complete disregard for logical ergonomics. Not to mention levels of depreciation that make very little financial sense. These might seem like bargains for how they look and what they offer, but the dropping values will most likely continue until the cost of repairs surpass what the car is actually worth. And that's not a car that you want to own. French SUVs, they can be totally reliable, but to achieve that, they require the most fastidious maintenance and near obsessed fan levels of commitment when it comes to ownership. If you can't provide that, do not buy one. Unfortunately, this then extends to another SUV that the Renault Koleos shares pretty much everything with, short of a few electronics, the exterior panels and interior trim. It's the Nissan X-Trail. Specifically, we're talking about the T32 X-Trail from 2014 to 2022. Models powered by the 2.5-litre petrol engine are proving to be marginally less risky, but the issue here is the bloody CVT transmission. If you're tempted by this generation of X-Trail, or Koleos for that matter, it is absolutely critical that the CVT has been maintained perfectly, ideally ahead of any scheduled servicing. And we'd be avoiding any that have done any towing or off-roading. Not that many of them will be guilty of that. Then there are reports of hit and miss build quality and just general reliability issues. The diesel engined examples are to be avoided, all of which makes you question why you'd buy one when there are so many other less risky alternatives out there. Also, the earlier generations, the T30 and the T31, they can be solid units, but even then, there are question marks. We do explain in far more detail in our full review videos. The links are down below. While we're on the subject of SUVs that share the majority of their components, let's talk about why you should never buy a Volkswagen Tiguan or any of its relatives. In case you're not aware, Volkswagen owns Skoda and Audi and Cupra. In fact, Porsche, Lamborghini and Bentley all fall under the Volkswagen banner too, and they all take part in their fair share of automotive incest. For example, the Tiguan Allspace, Skoda Kodiaq and Audi Q3 share platforms, engines, transmissions, brakes, suspension components, electronics and everything short of the visual bits that we all see. When it comes to the Tiguan, while it is technically positioned right between this category and the schmancier luxury SUV category when new, thanks to the used prices kicking off from under $5,000 for the first-gen Tiguans and under $20,000 for second-generation examples, for us, the Tiguan is worth mentioning here. I should mention too, we will be covering the best and worst luxury brand SUVs in other videos. But why shouldn't you buy a Tiguan? Well, when it comes to the first-gen examples, the long list of common mechanical and electronic reliability issues seem to only grow longer as they age. Transmission problems, feeble engine bay plastics that kill cooling systems, which can then grenade engines, timing chain tension issues that, guess what, can destroy engines. The list just goes on and on. But with parts and labour asking a premium, it doesn't take too long for the repair costs to surpass the value of the car.
That equates to a car that you should just avoid in the first place. The second generation Tiguan, it is an improvement, but like the SUVs that we've mentioned previously, to mitigate expensive repair costs requires an incredibly thorough service history and fastidious future maintenance. Unless you can categorically confirm the Tiguan in question has such a history, and you're in the position to care for it like an injured puppy, why not just buy a more resilient SUV in the first place? In saying that, the more recent the Tiguan, the better. Volkswagen did improve it during its life cycle, but for us, it's not like it's this amazing SUV that impresses so much more than the competition, so the potential risks are worth it. I mean, it's good, but so are plenty of other SUVs in the market. And the same can sort of be said for the Skoda Kodiaq. Although it is a 7-seater, like its twin under-the-skin Tiguan Allspace, so we'll be delving into its details in the best and worst 7-seat SUVs video. Okay, next up, and this one is bound to be controversial, let's talk medium SUVs from China. Early examples like the Chery J11 and the Great Wall X240 are just not worth the risk, no matter how affordable they are. These were made when Chinese car exporting was in its infancy, and like anything that's manufactured, you don't want to be the first in the queue for what initially rolls off that production line. This isn't just exclusive to China either. Early Japanese, Korean, American, English, and European cars, they're all a bit shit too. However, while the improvement in build quality for Chinese manufacturers has been truly incredible, for us it's just still too early to judge long-term reliability and support when it comes to the likes of the Chery Tiggo 7 Pro, Haval H6, and MG HS. And when there is such an enormous range of alternatives available from more established manufacturers with longer-term and wider-reaching support networks, for now, we'd be sticking with an SUV from one of them instead. We have no doubt that it's only a matter of time until vehicles from Chinese manufacturers are easily matching the very best from the traditional brands. We just don't think we're quite there yet. But this raises a question for our next SUV's manufacturer. You guys have been doing this for decades and you're still dropping the ball. Jeep, sort your shit out. The medium SUV Jeep we're talking about is the Cherokee, which while it has been available for over five generations since the mid-1970s, even renamed the Jeep Liberty in the US for a little while, the most prevalent on the used market these days is the 2014 to 2022 KL series. Now, before all of you Jeep fans go tearing us apart, yes, plenty of you have never had an issue with yours, and we don't deny for a second, especially in Trailhawk spec, this is one of the most capable SUVs in this category. But as we explained in our full review video, the Cherokee can be riddled with issues and is only for a very specific sort of owner. This is someone that identifies as a hardcore Jeep fan, someone that will happily deal with all of the potential headaches because they genuinely use their Cherokee's off-road ability on a regular basis, and it's someone that has no hesitation in spending their hard-earned keeping the thing on the road the rest of the time. Basically, unless you're going off-road all of the time, there are so many other SUVs that do SUV better and make more sense than the Cherokee. And we haven't even mentioned what a shit show Jeep's after-sales reputation is like. And unfortunately, because Jeep falls under the same banner as Fiat and Dodge, we'd also be steering clear of the god-awful Fiat Fremont and Dodge Journey. They're the same car, and they are both terrible. And please, please, for God's sake, do not buy a Dodge Nitro. You deserve better than this thing. Not only is it horrible, look at it. It's embarrassing. But we're not done. There's another medium-sized SUV that generally can be pretty good, but it comes with a hell of a warning. It's the Subaru Forester. Overall, earlier Foresters are pretty bulletproof, and while many, especially the 2.5-litre examples, have had issues with head gaskets letting go, resulting in painful and expensive repairs, many on the used market have been repaired by now, and with good maintenance, hopefully should last for many years to come. The warning, however, surrounds any featuring a CVT, or constantly variable transmission, especially earlier examples of the 2014 to 2018 fourth generation SJ Forester. There are more and more reports of these transmissions failing, resulting in repair bills exceeding $5,000. Fastidious maintenance hopefully mitigates some of the risk, and there are thousands of owners that have never and probably will never have an issue. But these failures, they are happening. Not to mention, the overall reliability and build quality might not be what you're expecting from a Subaru. Look, things have improved of late, but like any used car, just make sure you have a full and thorough pre-purchase inspection carried out before you even think about buying that car. Plus, make sure you watch our Ultimate Used Car Buyer's Guide, and we have made review videos of plenty of these SUVs. All the links are down below.
Now, just a quick reminder, you can find the video version of this podcast over on YouTube, which is also where you'll find our full review videos too. Now, that's where we do a deep dive on individual models to find out what goes wrong with them and whether we think you should buy one or not. And we do everything, family cars, EVs, performance cars, 4x4s. Find the links in the notes. Also, if you're enjoying the Redriven podcast so far, the best way that you can show your support is by giving us a follow and a review wherever you are listening. Thanks again so much, and we'll see you, or probably should say hear you, in the next one.